Come on, church. Welcome to church this morning. How you doing? Awesome. You guys glad to be here today? Come on. It's going to be a great day. We want to welcome all of our Amarillo Fellowship family, those of you joining us online, those of you right here in the auditorium. Church is just better because you're a part of it. And happy 4th of July. Come on. Be careful with your fireworks. I'm just saying. Awesome, awesome. We're so glad that you're here. So glad to live in this incredible country and have the freedoms that we have. Absolutely amazing. Well, listen, you know, in this church, we believe that the tongue has the power of what? Come on, let's stand up and let's make some declarations today. You guys ready? You act like I'm asking you if you're ready for a shot. No, I'm asking you, are you ready to make some declarations about some things that you know is true in your life? Come on, here we go. Let's say it together. God is who he says he is. God will do what he says he will do. I am who God says I am. I can do all things through Christ. God's word is truth, and God's word is alive and active in me. And now, because of what Christ has done, I'm highly favored, greatly blessed, and deeply loved. Hey, if you believe that this morning, turn to your neighbor and give him a high five. Hey, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your loving kindness. Father, we just pray in these moments that we have remaining together today, God, that you would put a God download inside of us, that when we leave this place, we'll start a revolution. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Hey, I don't know if you've ever been forgotten before. Anybody ever been forgotten? I remember when I was growing up, I was living in Enid, Oklahoma. And I went to the grocery store with my mom, kids' favorite places, right? Always hated going to the grocery store. And anyway, I was mesmerized by the white powdered donuts. And so I was walking down the aisle, and I saw them. So I headed to where they were, and I was looking and just in awe of these magnificent things that I could eat. And after a while, I looked up. And my mom was nowhere to be found. So I walked over an aisle, and I didn't see her, and I walked down another aisle and began to get a little bit nervous. The next aisle, I began to get a little bit scared because the people around me were looking a little shady. And the more I looked, the more I did not find her. And finally, I just burst into tears, and a worker came over and said, "What's wrong? I lost my mom. I think she's forgotten me," and went home. And so anyway, he comforted me and he got on the loudspeaker and got my mom, and I got some donuts that day. It was amazing. But the point is that I thought that I had been forgotten by mom. How many of you know that my mom took me into that grocery store? She's going to take me back out. Even if I wander just a little bit, she hadn't forgotten about me. Do you know so many times in our lives, we get into circumstances and situations into our life, and we think God has forgotten us. Come on, anybody ever been there? You faced a circumstance, you faced a situation. You know he's been faithful in the past, but maybe, just maybe, he's forgotten about me today. Well, I want to give you the main idea that I want to share with you. And here's the truth that I want you to take home with you. Don't forget God, because God has not forgotten you. Come on, somebody. Don't forget God, because God has not forgotten you. Church, when life's pressures mount, don't forget God, because God has not forgotten you. When circumstances come that you don't think you can survive, don't forget God, because God has not forgotten you. When your plans don't work out like you think they should, come on, somebody. How many people today, either watching online or in this building, you've put together a plan and God didn't execute your plan? And you got a little mad at God because you had a good plan. Can I tell you, church, when your plans don't work out like you think they should, don't forget God, because God has not forgotten you. Do you know what the point of today's message is? don't forget God, because God has not forgotten you. Somebody needs to know that today. Somebody's facing something you think God's forgotten about you. Man, I've been over here serving. I've been over here sowing. I've been over here planting. But I'm facing this. I think God's forgotten about me. Don't forget about God, because God has not forgotten you. Today, I want to look at some scripture that was written at a time in the life of Israel where everything seemed to be going wrong. What should have been up was down. What should have been down was up. What should have been right was wrong. What should have been wrong was right. Maybe it's a little bit like the culture that we're living in today. Today I want to look at some scriptures in this particular passage that has an incredibly odd statement right in the middle of it. In fact, I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 17. We're going to start in verse 4. Now, I've been in ministry 33 years. I've been a believer a long time, and I have never seen this particular phrase in Scripture until this past week. Listen to what the Word of God says. Isaiah 17, starting in verse 4. In that day, Israel's glory will grow dim. Its robust body will waste away. The whole land will look like a grain field after the harvesters have gathered grain. It will be desolate. Hey, are you glad you came to church today to get a positive, encouraging word? Come on, somebody. It will be desolate like the fields in the valley of Rephaim after the harvest. Only a few of its people will be left. Come on, how many of you know, if you're reading this and it's about you, you're looking at the person beside you. Is it going to be them? Is it going to be me? I'm better than them, so I better be ahead of them. Come on, you know that's true. Only a few of its people will be left like stray olives left on a tree after the harvest. Now, I've never seen that phrase, stray olives, before. And I just want to find out if I'm the only one. How many people have ever seen stray olives in the Bible before? Yeah, I'm not, Samuel has. Come on. My son has. I've never seen that phrase, but there's great significance to the phrase stray olives. It says, like stray olives left on a tree after the harvest, only two or three remain in the highest branches, four or five scattered here and there on the limbs. Now, I want you to know this message took place in the time of King Ahaz. In this passage, Israel had turned away from God. I don't know what circumstances were going on. Maybe they were buying into the mentality of idols, of putting something else before their relationship with God. I don't know. I just know they had turned away from God. And because they had turned away from God, they were stepping outside of their covenantal protection. How many of you know sometimes there's some natural consequences that are going to come in on some choices that we make that aren't godly choices? Because they had stepped out from underneath their protection, other nations were free to attack them. And Assyria was one of those nations. Assyria capitalized on the opportunity to go in and take captive another nation. And if any nation were going to take you captive, Assyria is not the one you want to do that. Well, I want to jump back for just a moment to the olives, because we're talking about in the scripture stray olives. You see, there was, in times of harvest, in biblical times, there was a shaking and a beating that took most of the olives from the tree. In other words, what they would do is they'd shake the tree and olives would begin to fall. And then the olives that remained, they would pick up something and they would start to beat the tree to get the remaining olives down. And after the tree was shaken and beaten, after they had gone through the process and most of the olives had fallen from the tree, the owner of the tree was forbidden to go back over the boughs of the tree again. In other words, they shook the tree, they beat the tree, and then what was left had to be left. And they did that in order that the portion of the crop that would be left would be reserved for the strangers, for the widows, and for the fatherless. So after it went through the entire process, the olives that were left on the tree had incredible purpose in the lives of people that needed the olives the most. Well, what does that have to do with us? Well, people that remain faithful to God in times of shaking and in times of beating will have incredible purpose in your life. Have you ever been shaken in life? Have you ever faced a circumstance that you thought you'd never face? Have you ever felt beaten up in life? Well, listen, I want to tell you, church, enemies may come in like a flood, but they will be turned back like chaff blown by the wind. The whole idea in this passage is an idea of a remnant. After all of the destruction, there is a remnant that still will produce oil and bring life to the forgotten. There were stray olives and only a few left on the top that the shakers couldn't get to. Listen, I'm telling you, the enemy may come into your life to try to take some stuff out, but there's some places in your life the enemy can't get to because you're a stray olive, and you may try to mourn over some things that have gone from your life, but I want to tell you what remains in your life has great purpose on it, and God is going to use that in incredible ways. Come on, that point was better than two claps in this auditorium today. Now, make me work hard for this. Get on the plane and go with me on the journey, and we'll land a whole lot quicker. You see, the Assyrians that were setting their eyes on Israel, they were a wicked people, and they made it their goal to destroy the Israelites. And even though they were unleashing this crazy attack, there was a remnant of people that could not be touched by the wicked king. And the implication is that this wicked king was going to come in and destroy everything. And that the only thing that would be left would be the weak, the poorest, and those that had no threat against the king. So we're talking about a remnant that might be left of just the weakest and the poorest, which would seemingly have no effect on the king. But I want to remind you today, church, that the Word of God says that God will take the weak things of this world and he'll use them for incredible purpose. You see, at this particular time, the Israelites were so deluded. They had so bought into idols. They had so bought into the culture around them, if you will, that it affected their relationship with God. But even in the midst of a deluded nation, God still extended grace to the stray olives. And there's three truths that I want to share with you today about stray olives. Look at your neighbor and say, stray olives. The first truth that I want to share with you today, church, and I want you to write it down, is this. Stray olives obliterate idol minds. Now, I grew up hearing that idol hands were the workplace of the devil. IDLE, in other words, no movement. Just kind of hanging out. I'm not talking about IDLE. I'm about not moving. I'm talking about IDOL. In other words, an idol is something that you set up that has more importance to you than your relationship with God. And the thing that I want you to know today, church, is that idle minds, in other words, you get your mind focused on anything else as top priority in your life, aside from your relationship with God, that will steal your destiny. An idol is an image or representation of God used as an object of worship. And worship is a feeling or expression of reverence or adoration. In other words, we give that thing incredibly honor. Now, let's go back to the Assyrians for a moment. They were an incredibly wicked people. I'll talk about that in a moment. But they had a ton of idols. They had an idol to demons. They had an idol set up to honor crooks. They had an idol set up to honor the sun. They had an idol set up to honor trees of life. They had all of these different idols set up in place of God. In other words, they weren't people of God. They were people of everything besides God. And not only did they have idols set up, they were also known as lords of torture. The Assyrians, what they would do is that they would impale people on giant poles. They would flay people. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's kind of like after you catch a fish, you take the skin off. That's flaying. And they would take that skin and they would post it around the towns. They were known to grind people's bones. They were known to behead people. They were known to amputate. They were known to burn people alive. And they would do all of that publicly to flaunt their brutality as an intimidation to other nations around them. And this particular nation, Assyria, had set their eyes on destroying Israel. Church, have you ever been to a place in your life where you felt like something evil has set its eyes on you to try to take you down? Well, I got to tell you, in the face of a crazy attack, God said there would be some stray olives that would start a revival of a turning of an entire nation back to God. In fact, Isaiah chapter 17, starting in verse 7, says this. Then at last, the people will look to their Creator and turn their eyes to the Holy One of Israel. They will no longer look to their idols for help or worship what they have made with their own hands. They will never again bow down to their Asherah poles or worship at the pagan shrines that they have built. This entire passage was talking about an attack that was getting ready to happen in the nation of Israel, but there would be a few stray olives left that would start a revolution in the culture that would cause people to run to God. And as we think about that this morning, I want us to think about the idols that we have in our culture. There's lots of idols that we can allow to take the place of our relationship with the Lord. You go to a lot of movies or watch a lot of TV shows, and there's sensuality and sex all over the place. And I'm not talking about with your spouse. I'm talking about with this person, and then that person. Politics can be an idol. In fact, do you know, especially today, there are some people so focused on politics that they have destroyed any credibility they have to be able to talk to somebody with an opposing view about Jesus. Sports can be an idol in our nation. In fact, in churches in America today, there are people that would never raise their hands to worship God, but would go to the giant stadium in Arlington that Jerry Jones built, and the Dallas Cowboys will come on the field and they'll raise their hands and they'll clap their hands and they'll shout hallelujah when somebody makes a touchdown. You know, I'm just getting real quiet in here today, church. I know what you're doing. Go to the next point. because we don't want to talk about this point. Another idol set up today, wokeism. What the woke church would do, which seems to be a movement that wants to change what Scripture says to fit our lifestyles instead of changing our lifestyles to line up with what Scripture says. You know, someone said this, in the past there was a separation of church and the state, but today there's a separation of the church and the Bible. Man, I don't know about you, but I want to be in a church just like this one that gets our truth from the Word of God and doesn't let culture tell us what our truth is. Today, church, why don't we choose to be a stray olive that starts a revival in our home, in our school, in our workplace, in our city, in our nation, in our state, and in our world? Because the Bible talks about stray olives. And those stray olives would be a remnant that would turn an entire nation back to God. And I love what Edwin Grover says. Listen to this. In fact, it'll be right up here. I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. I also love what the great prophet Dr. Seuss said. Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not. Church, in the middle of crazy circumstances happening all around us in our nation, can we choose to be the stray olive that obliterates idle minds and makes a difference wherever we are? Not only do stray olives obliterate idle minds, but the second thing I want you to write down is this: stray olives discard divine dementia. Stray olives discard divine dementia. Do you know what divine dementia is? Divine dementia forgets the miracles of God from the past. You know, it's similar to what happened in the nation of Israel. They had gone into captivity. They had gone into slavery for hundreds of years. They prayed out to God, God, would you raise up a deliverer to deliver us from this nation? God raised up a deliverer that came in and led this nation of more than a million people out of slavery and out of bondage. And they walked out with the Egyptians, giving them gold and silver, and they walked out abundantly blessed. So they had seen this incredible miracle with their own eyes. They didn't read about it in a book. They didn't hear about it in a story. They saw it with their own eyes. They saw the miracle right in front of them, how God led them out of slavery. And on the way to their promised land, on the way to the land that was flowing with milk and honey, on the way to the place where they were going to live in houses that they didn't have to build and they would eat crops that they would not have to grow, on their way they ran into some trouble because the Egyptian army came after them and was chasing them, and they got to the foot of the Red Sea. And when they got to the foot of the Red Sea was here, and the Egyptian army was behind him. And in that moment of crisis, they forgot that God is a miracle working God. Have you ever been there, church? You know God did a miracle over here. You know God did a miracle right here. But when we get to right here and we're facing that thing in front of us that looks like is going to take us down, we get divine dementia and we forget all about those miracles and we lose our ever-loving mind. You know what they did? They started complaining. They complained against Moses and they started talking about how much better off they were while they were still in slavery. Come on, they got to a crazy place. God, give us a deliver, give us a deliver, give us a deliver. God is taking them out. Oh, God, we were so much better when we were slaves. What in the heck are you thinking? They had an episode of divine dementia. Have you ever had one, church? Well, I love what Psalms 103:2 tells us, because it reminds us to bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Leave that one up there and let's say this together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Say it again, church. Bless the Lord. Church, God wants you to remember all of the benefits that he's provided for you. He's pardoned our sin. He's healed our heart. He's restored favor. He's connected us with the spiritual family. He helps us discover our spiritual gifts and talents. And then he promises to reward us when we use those gifts and talents. He helps us fulfill our purpose. He gives us joy despite circumstance. He sets us free. He delivers us from our enemies. He protects us. He blesses us abundantly. He gives us a long life. He lets us know that we matter, and on and on and on. Church, can we get back to where God first spoke to us and remember what he has deposited in our life? The last time I preached, our 21-year-old daughter Faith was on a vent in the hospital. We had watched a 21-year-old healthy girl lose 30 pounds and get to the place where her very next breath was dependent upon a machine. And the doctors did not know, and later told us, did not think she would recover. She had a massive, rare infection that went throughout her entire body. And in the midst of that, God gave me a word about faith. And this is what God reminded me. God reminded me that faith was a promise that God had given us. Both of our kids are adopted. Both of our kids are a promise from God. God told us about kids. We had to stand on the promise, and then we saw the promise. Now, some of you know this. Maybe many of you know this. The Thursday that we checked Faith into the hospital, the doctor woke me up that night early in the morning. Not the doctor, the devil. Sometimes they're the same, sometimes they're not. Anyway, the devil, I apologize to all my doctor friends. The devil woke me up in the morning, early in the morning, and said, Faith is gonna die. And he came in and he shook my tree. And he beat the tree. And there were some stray olives of faith left in that tree. And God spoke to those faithful olives that were left. And he said, that girl, Faith, is a promise that I gave you, and the devil cannot take your promise. Church, I want to remind you today that our God is a promise keeper. We stood on that promise in the face of overwhelming odds, and the God of miracles showed us again that our God still does miracles in the lives of his people. In fact, faith is getting stronger. On Friday, she was able to stop all of the high-powered antibiotics that she has been on, and she was able to stop them 2 weeks early. Her blood culture is clear. Yesterday, that girl got in her car and drove back to San Antonio against my wishes. And she said, Dad, I got to be at church on Sunday. I got a small group on Monday. And I got a worship night on Wednesday. What the devil tried to take, God rescued so she could fulfill her purpose. Can I tell you, church, that our God is a miracle-working God. And if you ever get around people that tell you that our God does not work miracles today, you need to get your hand up. Bye-bye, Felicia, because I'm going to find myself some people that believe what the Word of God says, that He still works miracles. That's not just for our family. That's for your family. Friend, I don't know what the enemy is telling you. I don't know what nasty tactics he is trying to bring against you to stop your promise, to discourage you, to frighten you, to cause you to want to move into divine dimension. But I want to remind you what the scripture says when it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Not only do stray olives obliterate idle minds, not only do stray olives discard divine dementia, but stray olives supply oil when they're squeezed. You know, if you go to the store to buy some olive oil, it wasn't just manufactured somewhere. It came from an olive. In fact, an olive press works by applying pressure to olive paste to separate the liquid oil and the vegetation water from the solid material. The oil and the vegetation water are then separated. It looks a lot like this. This is actually olive oil, and this is actually water. I put some food coloring in there so you could see the water. But you notice that the olive oil and the water are not mixed. The olive oil is risen to the top. Well, the olive gets pressed, it gets shaken, and it gets squeezed. And the oil, listen to me, church, the oil that is already on the inside, that's what comes out. Did you hear what I said, church? When it is under pressure, only what is on the inside, that's what comes out when the olive is under pressure. Have you ever felt squeezed? Have you been to the place where you've been under so much pressure that you didn't know if you would survive? Maybe you're there now. Friend, if that's you, I have an incredible word for you. Because when you are pressed, when you are squeezed, when you're at the point you feel like you can't go on one more day, you are still producing oil. And the oil that you're producing not only is going to take you through to the other side, but it's going to change the lives of the people around you. The same was true in the life of Jesus. The Garden of Gethsemane was an olive press, if you will, for Jesus. It caused what was on the inside of Jesus to come out of him. You see, right before Jesus was arrested, he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is what he's saying in Luke chapter 22. And he was withdrawn, talking about Jesus, was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. In other words, some of his disciples had gone with him and they stopped here, and he went on in a little further. And he knelt down and he prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Now, what was he facing? Well, he was getting ready to be arrested and he was getting ready to be crucified on a cross. And he didn't want to do it. And I know that because he said, Father, if it's your will, take it away. I don't want to do it. But listen to what he says. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Church, in Jesus' moment of greatest stress and need. In other words, when he was pressed like an olive, what came out of him was confidence and trust in the plans that God had for him. And you can say today, yeah, Pastor, but that's Jesus, and I could never do that. Well, I beg to take a different perspective today. What I'm saying to you today is that you already have on the inside of you the resolve to be just like Jesus in every situation that you face in your life. In fact, Hebrews 12:2 puts it this way. Hebrews 12:2 says, we do this by keeping our eyes on the circumstances around us. Is that what it says? We do this by keeping our eyes on social media posts. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in a place of honor beside God's throne. And listen to this crazy promise. Think about all of the incredible things that Jesus did, raising the dead, opening the eyes of the blind, opening the ears of the deaf, taking a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread and feeding 5,000 plus people, walking on water. Think about all of those incredible things that Jesus did, and listen to this crazy promise in John 14:12. I tell you this timeless truth. Jesus talking, the person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do. Even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. Did you catch that, church? Take a moment and let that sink in. Jesus said that our confidence in him will cause us to do even greater things than he did. What? Is that true? I want you to check it out in John chapter 14, verse 12, and let that be burned into your memory forever today. Church, I want to declare over you today that you are a greater things believer. You are a stray olive that will see incredible miracles of God. Jesus' confidence in God took him to a place of incredible honor. In other words, what came out of Jesus when he was pressed was led to incredible blessing and hope and restoration and life and honor, and that same thing has been deposited inside of you. We have the same opportunity to do the same thing today, no matter what circumstance we face. But church, so many of us live below the power and the privilege that we've been given. Church, I want to declare today, it's time to level up our confidence in the goodness of God and start seeing some greater things, start seeing some miracles, start seeing some signs, start seeing some wonders. You know, part of our purpose is to share the love and hope of Jesus with people that are far from God, but we can't do that if we're trying to act like the people that we're trying to reach for God. Robert, can you come help me? You're the olive oil. You're the oil that has life to it. This is the world. These are the people that desperately need the life that you have. And what God has called us to do is to be mixed in with the world. You go into your business. You go into your school. You go into your neighborhood. You go into that club. There should not be an avenue in America that doesn't have a Christian presence in it. Not so that we could become who they are, so that we could take who we are and deposit life into them. But so many times what happens is that when we start to mix with culture, we start looking like the culture. Our goal was never to look like the culture. Our goal was to go into the culture and to relate with them the life-changing truth that God has put inside of us. Our job is not to be holed up in a church talking about how crazy these people are down here. Our job is to be the oil that goes where people that have needs are, so that the oil, fragrance, anointing of God rises up, so that people that need God know where to go to find help. But I want to ask you a question. Are you becoming more like the culture? Or are you standing out like a stray olive that gives life to those that desperately need it? Just like oil and water don't mix, you can get them to look like they're mixed, but there's a distinct difference between olive oil and water. And you leave those two in the same area for long enough, that oil will rise up and will be on top of the circumstances and can show the way for people. As believers, church, we ought to stand out. I want to encourage you today to be a stray olive that mixes with people that are far from God. Have conversations with them about the questions that they have. Walk with them through every issue that they're walking through, and let that drive you back to God to get answers, so that you can go back into that culture and be the oil that God has called you to be. Be the stray olive that is so filled with the goodness of God that when you're squeezed in a pressure situation at work or in your marriage or in the life of your 21-year-old daughter that's fighting for her life, when you're squeezed, hope and life come out that not only take you through but changes the lives of those around you. Be a stray olive that believes in the miracles of God when there seems to be no miracle on the horizon. Be the stray olive that deals hope to others when others have given up hope. Church, be the stray olive that hopes against all hope, encourages the discouraged, gives to those in need, stands in the gap for those that are facing difficulties, lays hands on the sick, and then expects the sick to get well, that faces the giants with reckless abandon, that steps out by faith, that bets the farm on the goodness of God, and lives each day with reckless abandon, that He is going to use you in whatever circumstance you're in to be the oil that brings life to others.